This is Slashdot Review for Wednesday, November 3rd. My name is Andy McCaskey, and this is a 10-minute summary of highlights from recent contributions to Slashdot.com. Today's featured artist from GarageBand.com is Fluid, and we'll hear from them later in the program. But now, on to the headlines. Absent all the political news that I know you've been following throughout the day, now we have a chance to turn to some Slashdot technical items. Green Pizza writes to Slashdot that following its sale of a 10,240 processor cluster to NASA, Silicon Graphics has announced that it's supplying a 2,048 processor, Altex 3700BX2, to the Japan Atomic Energy Research Institute. Aside from running Linux on Itanium 2 processors, the beast also features 13 terabytes of RAM. There's speculation that Adobe might be forming a Linux strategy. RocketJam writes that according to CNET, Adobe Systems, the 800-pound gorilla of commercial graphics software, is looking to become more involved with desktop Linux. The company has recently posted two new jobs, one for a director of Linux market development to identify and evaluate strategies for Adobe in the Linux and open source desktop market, and another for a senior computer scientist who will become, quote, the maintainer and or architect for one or more Adobe-sponsored open source projects. Additionally, Adobe has joined the Open Source Development Labs and is active in the Desktop Linux Working Group. A company spokesman said they're not currently looking to port any of their flagship products, such as Photoshop, to Linux yet, as they currently don't see sufficient numbers in the platform to make a good business case for it. San writes to Slashdot that Nokia on Tuesday announced it plans to start selling a new smartphone capable of handwriting recognition. The 7710 model features a touch screen, pen input, a digital camera, an internet browser, a radio, video playback, and streaming and recording capabilities. You have to be very careful what you type. SciShock writes there's an article over at Holley.net. What actually happens when you type in the commands format C colon in Windows versus rm-rf/ in Linux? Very interesting results indeed. Myths are busted and hilarity ensues. Canadian Public Radio will begin to stream Ogg Vorbis. Dudeman writes that CBC Radio, Canada's major national public broadcaster, is now streaming in Ogg Vorbis format. Recently, CBC had switched from Real Media Streams to Windows Media Streams for their radio broadcasts, but after receiving a plethora of complaints suggesting Ogg Vorbis as an alternative, CBC has begun a test Ogg stream of the Toronto stations. They boast in their Ogg FAQ, linked from Slashdot, that they're encoding with Oddcast and streaming with Icecast. If you were watching net traffic last night, you might have seen a bump. PhoneBoy writes that according to a news story on Voxilla.com, a number of voice over IP service providers experienced much higher than normal call volumes. The calls were traced to mostly Democratic volunteers making calls in key battleground states. In a related story with political implications, electoralvote.com is under a very heavy load. There's a question as to whether it's being attacked. An anonymous reader writes that electoralvote.com and the mirrors electoralvote2.com through electoralvote8.com are very slow at the moment. The vote master, Andrew Tannenbaum, just posted that all servers appear to be under attack, but also DNS. Was that a massive attack or just a flash crowd? Reader Fishwack wrote in at 3:46 GMT, about 11:45 p.m. last night, that the Federal Electoral Commission's website was also down. I hope you'll take a look at the Slashdot.review.com site and consider participating. All that's required is to make a phone call to 732-357-3682 or a network-based SIP phone call to 747-667-3306. Just reference the title of the Slashdot item and add your comments. No-click phishing is on the way. An anonymous reader writes to Slashdot that Message Labs has discovered a pretty nasty, although fairly crude, phishing scam, which does not even require the recipient to click on a link in order to hand over personal data. Opening the email is enough to activate a script which merely lies in wait for its victim. The script rewrites the host files of the machine and directs users to a fake web page the next time they legitimately attempt to access an online banking page. However, it will only affect users who have Windows Scripting Host enabled and certain ActiveX controls, according to Message Labs. Russia has denied writing the Sobeg worm. Pashto Fitz writes that, quote, the Russian spamware programmer anonymously accused earlier this week of writing the Sobeg worm has responded to the accusations. Ruslan Ibragimov of SendSafe doesn't deny that his program uses proxies to hide spammers' identities, but he totally refutes the report's technical analysis in an online review over at the O'Reilly Network. The Beagle 2 was a British-led probe for the exploration of Mars, due to land on Mars on the 25th of December 2003. The spacecraft was successfully ejected from the Mars Express on the 19th of December, but nothing was heard from the Beagle 2, and the mission was presumed to be lost. Beagle 3 plans have been revealed. Richard W.M. Jones writes that while the UK's Beagle 2 may have been a well-publicized failure, the same team claims to have learned lessons and are now developing plans for Beagle 3. The new probe might be attached to a European mission due to launch in 2009 as a part of Europe's Aurora project. I want to give a shout-out and a note of thanks to a couple of people who have linked to Slashdot Review. Most immediately to August Jackson at augustjackson.net. He just completed the Marine Corps Marathon, and there's a great picture of him, tired and happy, on that particular on his particular blog. Zogblog, The Road Less Traveled, has also put a link to Slashdot Review. I appreciate that, as well as he has a list of a couple of other of his favorites there. And then today, I had a message from Leanne's Lair. Appreciate the encouragement. Thank you very much. And as soon as I get back and stop traveling on the road here for the day job, I'll go ahead and try and get some links up for you guys as well. Thank you very much. Yeah, there might be some justice after all. Saiku writes that according to an AP story from the San Francisco Chronicle, a brother and sister spammers have just gotten convicted in the nation's first felony prosecution of distributors of spam, while a third suspect was acquitted. The prosecution is in Leesburg, Virginia. There's a play on Slashdot for some real jail time as well. There's a possibility that there is a vast sea of bad DIM modules out there. The Sync writes to Slashdot that the registers reporting Toshiba is recalling notebook RAM, blaming third-party DIMMs. This follows HP's problems with defective notebook RAM in June of this past year. Neutron P, who is a frequent contributor to Slashdot, writes that an international team of astronomers have produced the first-ever image of an astronomical object using high-energy gamma rays, thus helping to solve a 100-year-old mystery, the origin of cosmic rays. The astronomers studied the remnant of a supernova that exploded over 1,000 years ago, leaving behind an expanding shell of debris, which seen from the Earth is twice the diameter of the Moon. Cosmic rays are extremely energetic particles that continually bombard the Earth, thousands of them passing through our bodies each day. Scott S. writes to Slashdot that NTT Docomo has unveiled a new phone which allows a simple wave of the hand to pay for items at the supermarket, rent movies, get airplane tickets, and more. The iMode Felicia serves as a mobile wallet that detects weak electronic signals from a reader-writer and can be used when the phone is off. Credit card phones have been an idea in the past, and you just leave it to the Japanese to make one. And then finally, Beav writes in recommending using Linux and the Asterisk PBX because it's possible to build a secure, cost-effective voice over IP and traditional public switch telephone network PBX solution. The article on Slashdot shows you how to take advantage of various hardware, software, and trick to accomplish this goal within a limited budget. Thanks for listening to Slashdot Review for Wednesday, November 3rd. My name is Andy McCaskey. I have no affiliation with Slashdot other than as a regular reader and offer this material and other items of interest under the Creative Commons Attribution Sharealike license as detailed in Slashdotreview.com. Slashdot Review Audio is published Monday through Friday and occasionally on Sunday. Today's featured album track is from the GarageBand.com artist Fluid. The track is Headphones. You can find more music from this artist at GarageBand.com by following the links on Slashdot Review.
And if you turn me on, how would you ever know? She gotta level up to keep her company when I can't be with her. She can play with me. She's lost in the net. Oh, 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 oh. She's lost in the fall. She comes and she goes. Oh, 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 oh. She got a tight-eye world. She got a 45s. She got electric boots. Her fountain comes alive. I'll be a Grateful Dead. I'll be a Ziggy too. And then we'll take a walk. The dark side of the moon. She's lost in her head. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, 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 oh. Coming clear. She got bad reception. She's so far from here. She put her headphones on and turns the lights down low. And then she slips inside into the afterglow. She's lost in the red. Oh, oh.